Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I wonder if I'm the only one here. I very much doubt it, but the only one here that's ever done something so dumb that as you were about to do it, you realized, this probably isn't smart, I shouldn't do it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And for me, most of those times involved, like back in the day, it would have been a dirt bike, maybe an old school mini bike, could have been a quad, it might have been like a snowmobile, and then eventually you just kind of get to my age where you outgrow that nonsense and you don't do that anymore, right? You get a little wiser. And so the last time I did that was just a couple years ago. I was on a road bike and I decided that it looked like a lot of fun. I pulled into the hunting property that I hunt and I looked out on the field and the grass was about that long and it was a little bit wet. Been a while since I'd taken a motorcycle and kind of fishtailed it. And so I got out on that grass with a road bike. It's an 1100, had a tire on the back that was meant for the roads, not for the grass, not for wet grass, but thought it'd be kind of fun just to get that thing fishtailing. And so I throttled down a bit and got the back end to whip around. Then I went the other direction and I went the other direction. I think I went one more time and recognized I took it too far. And at that moment, the bike was sideways. There's no recovery. I supermanned off that thing out in the air, landed, and luckily I didn't land on anything that hurt, and I went, wow, all right, how's my bike? And it wasn't good. I bent the handlebars, bent the shifter on the thing. I had grass piled all over the place, and if you asked me, would I do it again? Probably, because I have a story to tell. Like, probably would, and Kathy loves that about me, that I love that stuff. Don't you love that? So, But have you ever been in a place where you're just making decision after decision after decision and recognize, man, I have a lot of decisions to make. Some of them really wise, some like otherwise. And I've been told, it's a stat out there, I don't know how they figured it out, that we make 35,000 decisions in a day. Like, that's a lot of decisions. And you're gonna blow it once in a while. Here's what I wanna say. I think you made a great decision today, and we all made the exact same decision, and that decision actually was to be here, that we showed up. Whether online or in person, we showed up today. And the question behind your decision for me is this, like, why? Why did you show up here this morning? Why are you here this morning? What prompted you to actually get out of bed and to show up here this morning? What prompted you to show up here this morning? Izzy, if you could pull that next slide up, please. And so the question behind that one is this. Like, what is driving us to do what we do when we show up here on a Sunday morning? And it could be this, that we just show up because it's routine for us. That we have done this for so long, so many different times, that we just kind of are in a routine and we get up and we come. Or it could be that it's friends and it's family and our friends, some of our very best friends are a part of this church and we can't wait to get with them. Some of us have friends that have moved past what it really feels like to have friends to the point where we would say, they're like family to me and I love them so very much. For some of us, we're here because we want to grow spiritually. And when we show up here on a Sunday morning, like, man, something happens in me. I have an experience of God in worship. Something said, something happens in that space that God, when we open the word together, God speaks into my life. And I long for more and more of that. It might be this, that you're 15 and you have a permit. Mom and dad actually go, you can drive to church. And you're like, great. And can we go out to lunch afterwards? Because there's this place down in South Bend, Indiana that I would like to have lunch with you. And so we would love that. It might be this, that for some of us, our kids love the kids' worship, or our adults, we love the adult worship. This is a great reason. It's not real spiritual, but how about this one? Like, it's the safest place in public to take a nap. This is it. Like if you want to take a nap in church, you can put your purse next to you and it won't be gone through. You can like sit there. It's a safe place. I'm going to do my best today to not allow you to do that. But if you do, it's all right. It's okay. And so why do we come here? Like what prompts us to be a part of this? And I know for me this morning, what is prompting me to actually be here isn't that I have to be, and you might go, but you kind of do. Like, okay, I get it. I kind of do. But the reason I'm here is because, and when I preach always, I want this. It's because I've been thinking about you this week. Thinking about what do you need? What might God want to say to you? As I've been in the Word this week, really digging into it for this moment. Like, I think God has something for you. I really do. And it stirred me this week. And I'm hoping that what God does this morning for you is stirs you around this text as well. And I believe that God wants something for you. Maybe you're in a place today where you're like, I came this morning for none of those reasons there, but I've had a week. I've had a month. Like, I've had a year. And I'm just hoping today that something in some way God would just breathe some life into me. Or maybe you're in that place where you're thinking, I really want my life to matter. And I just kind of been going through the motions in life. And I want my life to be a part of something bigger. If that's you, and you want your life to actually matter and be a part of something bigger than you, this is absolutely true. You won't get there alone. It doesn't work that way. We were made for each other, and this is absolutely true as well, that us is better than me. And what we're about to jump into in this scripture is an us is better than me move that God had for the people of Israel. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 25, and what God longed for them was they would understand that together we can do something we can't actually do alone. That together is better than apart. That us is actually better than me. And in it, and I'm going to start in verse 8, he writes these words, or God speaks these. Moses puts them down. Have them, this is what the Lord says, have them, that is the Israelites, make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. We're going to get to the rest of the chapter, but he starts right there. And if the emphasis were in a few places here, it would read like this, have them, not you and you or you. It is them. Have the assembly. Have the us, that is Israel, make a sanctuary for me, God, and I, God, would dwell among them. We're going to jump into that, but before we do, there's a line in here that is the very first time mentioned in the scripture right here in this text. And it's this, that I will dwell among them. It's the first time that we see this narrative rolling out, and it rolls out, we're a chapter and a half into the Bible. And what we find is for the rest of the Bible, this narrative rolls out that we have a relational God who wants to dwell with his people, a God who says that I want to move in among them. I want to live with them. A God that actually takes up residence with us. We see the fullness of that in the New Testament for sure. And it's predicted that God is going to come and be among them. He will be Emmanuel, God with them. And the fullness of that we see in the Gospel of John, where John records those words by saying this, the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He dwelt among us. Before John ever wrote that, Moses wrote this. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell with them. I'm going to be a God who takes up residence, moves into the neighborhood, and is with my children, my people. I do life with them. I choose to do life with them. So let's back up to the beginning of the chapter 25 and verse 1, it reads this way. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. Just pause right there a second. What you notice, if you pay attention to the verse there, verse 2, is that God is not saying, make sure you get something from everybody. Make sure that everybody does their part. Make sure that you coerce everybody to get off their wallet, to open up their purse, and to give. I want something from everybody. Somebody says, receive an offering. This is a free will. If you like to do that, you may. An offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give, who has a heart prompt, who has a desire, a willingness that wants to do that. Verse 3, these are the offerings you are to receive from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrance incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. This is God's move, and it's an interesting move. Very interesting move. If we were to zero in on that one scripture verse that I've camped out for a second, this move right here. You are to receive an offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. Because if you look at the move that God's been doing so far, it's really been all about God. God has been moving. God freed them from slavery. He took them to the Red Sea. God opened up the Red Sea. This is God's work. Freeing them from slavery, opening up the Red Sea. Then what? Raining down manna from heaven. Then what? Gives them water to drink, stirs the water of Marah, and it becomes sweet for them to drink. Out of a rock comes the water for them to drink. All God's move, and now God's move is this. Your turn. It's your turn. You're up to bat. I've done. I've been on the mountain with Moses and gave you rules to love by in this world, the Ten Commandments. And now I'm asking you to join up together for a project, to do something together for me. And this word prompts is actually the Hebrew word nadav. The Hebrew is it's a word poor language, meaning this, that the language of the Hebrew people, the ancient Hebrew words, there were very few words. We're a word-rich people, the English language. We have a ton of different words that we use to give different meaning to things. Somebody shows up and shows you something, and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. Or that's incredible. Or that's fantastic. Or that's beautiful. All different words to describe what somebody could bring to you. The word nadav actually means prompt of heart, whose heart is prompted, could mean, is interpreted, those that have a willing heart, those whose hearts have been moved on and they want to respond out of that place, those who have a passion, a desire for nadav is the word here. And what God asks of them with this heart that has gone nadav. I have a willing heart. I have a heart that desires. I have a heart that wants to give. I want to respond to what God has done. He doesn't ask for small things. It's pretty big. Here it is. I'll take gold, silver, bronze for the temple that I live in. Blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen. And the scarlet fine linen would have been from, it was not easy to make scarlet cloth. You had to take bugs that that ate on the oak trees, and one bug after another to get enough bugs together to begin to stain the fabric scarlet, the blue and the purple. It came from a murex, a mollusk. And the shells would have looked like this. It would take thousands of them just to make the fabric that would be used to be put into the temple. It was not a small thing. It was not an easy task. And it was not an inexpensive move. And then beyond that, they were to bring not just the gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, acacia wood, olive oil, spices, precious stones and gems, and last of all, what they were to bring is sea cows, like head scratcher, right? Why sea cows? What's that all about? A sea cow would have looked like this. many of us would think manatee. Very much like a manatee, just a little bit different. But what would you need that for? Like who wouldn't want it, right? You would want to stuff that and put that in your living room, right? I don't know why exactly they wanted a sea cow. There's some language around this that could refer to some other things. But in essence, what God was saying of the people is, I have a project for you. Here's my desire. Bring gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, acacia wood, olive oil, spices, stones, gems, and leathers. To decorate this place that I will live in, that I will dwell in. Who should bring it? Don't coerce people. I've been moving. I delivered them from slavery, set them free. When they were in danger, I opened up the waters and I protected them. When they were hungry, these are my children, I fed them. When they were thirsty, I gave them water. When they made their way in the hard land, a space between that was dry, and they found water but couldn't drink it, I sweetened it for them. I am the God who went up on the mountain with Moses and sent down these rules to live by in this world. For those whose hearts are nadav, for those whose hearts are willing, for those whose hearts have been touched, for those whose hearts have been changed, for those whose hearts are prompted, invite them now to join together to build a place that I can come and dwell among my people. When I think about a leap out of ancient times into modern times to today, like to us, some of the very most nadav people I know, whose hearts are willing, whose hearts are soft, whose hearts are grateful, who have been prompted by God to be a part of something bigger than themselves, are right here. It's you. It's Fairhaven. And I want to just show you a couple places. There are so many more that we've been invited into to do a project together, to engage in something together, just to give a glimpse. And this is a snapshot. But here's the reality. We have 200 to 250 kids and leaders every single Sunday morning that are a part of our kids' ministry. When you think about a project, doing it all by yourself, no, God was inviting in the nation, because if it was just a person, they couldn't come up with all that gold and all that silver, and they couldn't come up with all the acacia wood and the oils and the fragrances and the number of sea cows. They couldn't come up with all that on their own. It was a project for them, a shared mission for them together. This is our shared mission. It's just one. But you can't have a classroom of 200 kids. No way. We need volunteers to do that. We need curriculum, we need lights, we need space. All of that funded by or engaged by with hand and heart the people of this church, so that we get stories that come out of our kids' ministry. don't know if you remember, but little Josie, she's right here today. She was up front here leading worship. Why? Because she is so in love with Jesus. At her Christian school, they labeled her the enthusiastic praiser. She won an award and came up, grabbed a microphone and said, let me lead. She is our mission. She's our shared mission, along with all these other children. Beyond that, we have this, a men's ministry, where we launched a men's ministry. And just to show you, all whose hearts are prompted, we had over 100 guys show up for the very first outing. And past that is this, that I had two separate people from this church say to me afterwards, after we announced it for the first time, whatever it costs, I want to invest in this. I want to make it happen. Why? Because their hearts were prompted. God was stirring them. They wanted to see a move of God in the other people in this church the way that they had been moved by God. We have divorce care and grief share. One of my favorite stories, it was a little over 13 years ago. I just came to this church and I was in the lobby and one of our leaders of back when was sharing with me what it was like in the 1970s around this thing called divorce. And it's painful in any generation. But she was sharing that in that day, when somebody got divorced in the early 70s, was just starting to hit the scene around this area, churches didn't know what to do with it. And what they did with it is a lot of churches were not a safe place for people that were getting divorced. And so Fairhaven became that place, a harbor of hope. They called it that. We were a harbor of hope that people could come in. And we got labeled by the other churches in our community in that time as that's the church that will accept anybody. She teared up in our lobby, put her hand up in the air, and said, I took that as a badge of honor, that we looked like Jesus. Anybody with any story at any time, no matter where you've been and what you've done, you're welcome to come here and find your way back to a God who can heal and restore. And we have programs for people. We have people for people and make investment in those that are broken and hurting. And then we have a deacon's fund. We call it our benevolent fund. And our deacons just recently said, we want to do more. We gathered up and talked with a group of leaders from our campus care team and said, we want to do more. We want to make a greater investment. Why would they say that? Nadav. A heart that's being prompted to do more, to make more investment. And I know this about you. If they spend every dime, every single dime of that benevolent fund, and we come to you and say, we need more, because there are people that we're meeting up with that don't have their lights on. They don't have food on the table. They don't have clothing for their kids. We want to do something. I know the heart of this church. Everyone whose heart is prompted, we will do something about that. And our deacons are wanting to lead that charge right now. Think about hand to hand and our hand to hand ministry. It started with one person in this church talking to another person in this church, having a conversation with a superintendent from Jenison Public Schools. How do we get food into the hands of children on the weekend? Because hungry children hurt. And it started with this church, with just a few people that were volunteering and packing food. And it went from Sandy Hill to 11,000 people getting fed on a weekend. Why? Because of heart, Nadav. And because you have invested financially in that. And we give $10,000 away a year over to the hand-to-hand organization now. And we also, we have $28,000, $30,000 that we invest in the food over our harbor churches so that we can put food into the hands of families on the weekend. Jenison Public Schools. I got a letter, actually an email, just recently. We got this partnership, and you're like, Jenison Public Schools? Yeah. This church has had such a heart for this community for so many years. The Jenison Public Schools, a principal that's in our building, right in this building. They run their outdoor program out of our building and then go out into the back on our property, their property, with these children. She's retiring. And she wrote me this beautiful note to us, that basically said, she didn't use this word. I don't know if she knows the word, but thanks for being Nadav. Thanks for having a heart that's prompted. Thanks for being willing in heart to make investment. Thank you to all who went before that built this building large enough so that they could be a part of it, for keeping the lights on, keeping it up, kept up so that those children could be housed here. Thank you for being such a great partner and making a real difference in our community. Beyond that, we also have, next one please, the attic after school. And again, I'm just giving snapshots of some of the stuff because gold, silver, acacia wood, olive oil, fragrance, and used to the linens, the scarlet linens, the blue linen, it's too much for one person. Are you catching it? This is way too much for any one of us to do. Any one of these is too much. But you think about the attic after school, and maybe it's the first time you're hearing about it, but it's one of our missions. And it started with a youth leader that was at our church that got compelled to go out and plant a church, Wyoming Harbor Church. His name is Jordan Stonehouse. Jordan Stonehouse gathers up 100 plus students after school in Wyoming every single Tuesday. And when they're gathered, they get fed a meal. They get told about the love of Jesus. We have volunteers that are from our church, and we give money from our church to that. Why? Because we're prompted by God to make a difference in some students that need to hear the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a church plant that's in Uganda, going global now. It's in the slums of Uganda, in Kampala, their major city in that country. And it's the hardest of the hardest people to reach with the gospel. It's drugs and alcohol, and life has so beat them down. They're without hope until they meet up with some Christians that you've invested in, that we chose to partner with, that said, we'll be your hope. And they show up with food. They show up with clothing. They show up and help them find a place to live. And then they bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. We have a flourishing church in Uganda because of Nadav, because we cared. Think about Nepal. Nepal, I was on the phone with Nepal, actually on a Zoom call with them this past week. 8:30 on Wednesday night, and it just hit me. This is wild. But it's 8:30 on a Wednesday night. I'm not that long from heading to bed. They are just waking up. God has so designed the world that as we're putting our head to the pillow, having worshiped God, given heart Nadav to God all day long, it's our turn to sleep. It's their turn to get started. And there I was with this sea of faces that were on the gallery that is a Zoom call. And I have no idea how many were on it, but I do know that partway through doing devotions for them, pouring into them and speaking into these people that are planting churches and reaching people for Christ, it hit me like, who am I? Like, really? Who am I to do this? And Todd, I know you're on the board for this group. Who are we to actually speak into them? They are risking their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are trying to fly under the radar so they don't get discovered while they are trying to expose Jesus to as many people as possible. And it's amazing what they're doing. We're part of that. We invest in that. Together, we do this work. In India, another one, very similar, one of our largest mission offerings. We've gone to cities, literally entire areas, wanting to saturate the whole area with the gospel of Jesus Christ, where it's illegal to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we step in, because when the laws of the land conflict with the law of God and the hope of the gospel, we step in and bring hope. We have Nadav. We've been prompted. We join God in that work together. And finally, Myanmar. There was an earthquake, and you probably heard about it. 7.7 on the Richter scale just happened. Over 3,500, closing in on 4,000 people that died in that. Got a phone call from Brad Haslett with Partners Relief and Development. And Brad said, is there anything in your mission fund that would allow for you guys to send a gift to us? I made a call to the group that leads our mission fund. And the answer was yes. Yes, we will respond. And we'll be a part of this. Why are we able to do this? Because of you. Because if it was me, all by myself, I might be able to pick something and do a little bit. If it was you all by yourself, maybe you'd be able to do more even. But together, a mission together, a shared mission with one another, we can do. I'm just saying, us is better than me. And God is doing through the Nadav, through everyone whose heart is prompted. And here's what I want to say this morning. I have some paper up front if you're interested and didn't make the business meeting that we had the opportunity for us to gather and talk about our finances for the year. I have them up here. Here's my heart, my desire. What I and some others are feeling prompted to do and be, I want to blow past that. I would love to see God do more through us and show up as the God who said, I'm the one who can do immeasurably more than you've asked. Maybe we should ask and pray. Or imagine, time to dream. I'm prepared to do that through you. Through who? Every one of you who is prompted in heart, who is Nadav, who has been the recipient of a God that set you free, a God that has given you everything you have, a God who has blessed you immensely. Nobody here under coercion, no arms up behind anybody's back, just us who have been prompted by God to say, I want to be a part of that, something bigger than myself. So maybe these things is our next steps. Maybe for you today it's, you know, I've never financially given toward the kingdom of God ever. But I would like to be a part of that. I'm feeling like I would like to be a part of that. And I can tell you, when Kathy and I got started, it really wasn't that easy. And I'm not sure we got started right. I remember having a conversation with her in a place that we were renting at that time. And together we had a couch. She brought it into the marriage. And we had a bed that I had that was not a twin. We were a little bigger than that, the full-size bed. But we were newlyweds, so we're hanging out with each other. And we had a TV that was hers. It was an 11-inch screen, and it had those rabbit ears with aluminum foil. We had a board and two crates that we set the TV on. And I was reading about investing in the kingdom of heaven. And the two of us talked about it and said, we should do something. We didn't have much, but we did what we could. And I'm not saying we did it out of, at least for me, I don't think I did it out of the right place. I sort of did it because the Bible says it, so I should do it. It was like a rule thing for me that we should start doing this. Not Nadav. How much more beautiful. God, you have done so much for me. Can you use this small thing that I have to make a big difference in somebody's life? Some kid or somebody on the other side of the world. My heart's feeling prompted, and I wonder if we could just follow the prompting of our hearts, the stirring that's inside of us that drives us to be willing to maybe do more than we've ever done before, because we want to do it to be a part of something together that gives God glory in this world and helps people find their way back to Him. And I wonder if the invitation to all of us here today is this, to just become Nadav, living a generous life. Ashley said it. We say it. Those aren't just words. It's the best life to live. And to find yourself so filled with gratitude, so overwhelmed by how good God is, that out of that place, we freely offer our time. We freely offer our talent. We freely put these feet into action, these hands into motion. We freely will find opportunity to be generous with that which we have, big or small, in terms of our financial investment in the very things that God longs to see in this world. That. It's what he said to the Israelites. What a great move. Now that I've done all this for you, I'm just asking, can we start this project together? Let's do this together before we launch into shaping the world. Father, you have called us to all this stuff that I just spoken, and way more. The list is long. And I'm so very grateful for a church that has Nadav, that has heart, that is being prompted, that is stirred. People that are asking for us to do more and expand the impact together in this world. We couldn't do it alone. Not any one of us in this room can do this work alone, but together as your people with whom you dwell and empower, we're asking, come and move and stir, that we might live lives, individual lives, that are worthy of the calling to which we have been called, that we might live as a church worthy of the calling to which this generation of Fairhaven has been called. All of this for your glory and your honor. May you, who is capable of doing immeasurably more than we have asked, even now, asked or imagined, may you do that work in your church for the sake of the world that we get to invest in. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.